We're glad that you are here this morning. As several have already said, we have visitors among us, and we're glad that you're here. We appreciate, as we always do, your presence. And as we say from time to time, we invite you back, and we mean that. We hope that you will come back whenever you may have the opportunity to be with us. Back just shortly after the first of the year, the elders had a meeting with the men of the congregation. And one of the things that was expressed in that meeting was the possibility of us seeking out from among ourselves some further deacons to serve, and also the possibility of some elders. And the elders met with me the other night and asked if I would begin a series on the service of the deacons and the things that have to do with that. And so we have gone through this material before, but I think as we enter into this process again, that it will be beneficial to us to go through this material one more time as we think about the necessity that we have at this point of further deacons to serve the church here. I want to say as we enter into this that what we are looking for as we seek out from among ourselves deacons to serve the church and the elders of this group is we are looking for good men. But I would suggest to you that we're not looking for perfect men. And one of the things that I think it's easy for us to do is as we look at the qualifications that are laid down in God's Word for a man to serve as a deacon, and as we look at the role that a man is to play as he will serve as a deacon, I think sometimes we can set such a high standard for ourselves that there is no man who would ever meet that, almost. That's not what God intended. God intended for men to be qualified to serve in this capacity, and I believe as we look into His Word and as we see the work that is laid out before a man who will serve as a deacon, and as we see the qualifications of that man, that there are men who can qualify for that. I believe we have two right now, and I will tell you right now, as I look out at this group, I believe, and I say this, and I know the elders would agree with me, and I think Sam and Tony would agree with me, that as I look at this group, I believe there are other men who are sitting here in this audience this morning who are qualified to serve in this capacity. And I want to encourage the congregation as we begin this process to go into this thing with our eyes open, to go into this with earnest desire to seek out men who are qualified. I don't in any way try to push us into appointing men that may not be qualified, but rather may we examine the men that are among us and examine these qualifications and then make the match if it is appropriate. But I would suggest to you, these do need to be good men, but may we not raise the standard so high that there is no one among us who could meet it. May we go into this with a realistic expectation of what these men are to be and what they are to do. The way we're going to break this study down over the course of the next 2 weeks is this morning we're going to look at the work of a deacon. What would he be doing? What does it mean for a man to serve as a deacon? And then next week we'll go and look further at the qualifications. This is the way we've done it in the past, and I think it's an excellent way, and here's the reason why. If we can come to an understanding of what a man is to do as he serves as a deacon, I think that then helps us as we look at the qualifications, because as we look at what he is to do and then examine the qualifications, we can see how those qualifications are necessary in light of the work that he is to be involved in. So the first thing I want to look at as we get into this morning is the idea of what is a deacon. The first thing I would suggest to you, as we have in the past, are that there are some misconceptions in regards to this idea. The first thing I think about is that sometimes the church will appoint a man to serve as a deacon to try to give him some kind of a position of honor or to try to encourage him to be better than what he has been in the past. So here's a guy, he's kind of struggling, he's not really all he ought to be, he's not doing as maybe he ought to do, and so we say, well, you know, if we made that guy a deacon, I bet it would be better, I bet that it would put him, make him more diligent in his service and all those kind of things. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for a guy who is weak. We're not looking for a guy who needs encouragement necessarily. We're looking for men who are qualified. This position is not to be used to put a guy in a position of honor or to try to strengthen him to do more. We're looking for men who are qualified to serve. The other misconception that we run into from time to time, not only have people used this as a position of honor to try to get a guy to do better, but we have also seen situations where churches just don't really even know what a deacon is supposed to do. We just look into God's Word and we see, well, we're supposed to have elders and we're supposed to have deacons and we understand what elders are to do, but, you know, who really knows what a deacon's supposed to do anyways? But, you know, we got to have a few, so, you know, here's some guys that come close and we'll stick them in there, and they don't really ever do anything. They're just kind of filling a position, as it were, or accepting some kind of a title, but they're not actually involved necessarily in the work that is going on. That's not what this is about. One of the things that I hope we see as we enter into the lesson this morning and as we go through next week, as we come to some grips with what we are doing here, we must understand that being a deacon involves work and it involves dedication. And there will be some very specific responsibilities assigned to a man who will serve in this capacity. Another misconception is the idea that sometimes we get this feeling that a deacon is almost like an elder. He's just kind of like almost an elder kind of a thing. And, you know, here this is kind of a qualifying position to get him so that he'll be ready to serve as an elder. Now, many times a man who serves as a deacon does end up qualifying to serve as an elder and may step into that position as time goes on, but not necessarily so. There may be a man who is qualified to serve as a deacon who serves very, very well his entire life as long as he is able and never serves as an elder. There would be absolutely nothing wrong with that. One of the things we must understand that as we go to seek out deacons from among ourselves, we are not looking for many elders. We are not looking for guys to shepherd the flock. We are looking for men who are qualified to serve the group under the elders. That's what we are selecting from among ourselves. May we not somehow misplace the qualifications of an elder with the qualifications of a deacon and be looking at this so strictly that we think we're appointing some kind of men to be elders. That's not what we're doing. Realize the qualification. Realize the things that a man must meet in order to serve, but may we not go beyond what the Word of God has told us, and may we not make these conditions more restrictive than what God has laid down. A deacon is not a mini elder. A deacon is a man who is a servant, a special servant of the church, I think, as we'll see as we go through this lesson. So what is the definition? Here are these misconceptions, but what is a deacon? That word comes from the Greek word, the translation being deacon for us, of diakonin. And I'm going to read to you what Vine's definition of that word, that Greek word, is. Vine says that it denotes a servant, whether doing service work or as an attendant rendering free service, without particular reference to his character. So what is a deacon? A deacon is a man who is going to be a servant. A deacon, as we see it laid out in the Word of God, is a special kind of man. It's not just anybody. It is somebody who meets some very specific qualifications. When we get down to what a deacon is, we see that a deacon is one who would be described as humble. A deacon is one who can take orders and then carry them out and can be expected to do so without undue interference. He knows what he has been assigned to do. A deacon is a man who would be described as having, I think, sterling character. He is a man who will rule his house well. He is a man who has a good Christian wife. Ultimately, he is a man who has been proven. And that is the men. Those are the types of men that we are looking for to fit into this particular role, the role of a deacon serving the church that meets here. As we think about that, we face before us a serious responsibility. But as I said, I believe that there are men who are sitting here this morning who are qualified to step into this and do an outstanding job serving the church here. When I think about the value of one who is a deacon, there's one example in the New Testament that I think we can look at. And I want you to turn with me there this morning. Go with me to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, we see a situation that transpired in the first century church. And while these men are not described as deacons, I think we see some similarity between the work that they did for the church in Jerusalem as they assisted the apostles and the work that a deacon would do as he works among us and serves us and serves the elders that are over this flock. And what I want to do is read from Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 7, and I think you'll see the similarity here as we think about what these men did versus what a deacon would do among a church such as the one that meets here at Pepper Road. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them.
Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, I think it's important for us to understand what happened here. As you remember back to the first century, and you remember the things that transpired right after the church began, you had this huge gathering of people in Jerusalem who heard the preaching on the day of Pentecost and became Christians. They didn't just immediately go back home to wherever they had come from as they had gathered together for that feast. So the church in Jerusalem has this problem. There are a lot of people who need help and that needed assistance. And apparently one of the things that they saw during that time was that there was a daily distribution of food for these people who were now gathered in Jerusalem and are living there. And apparently the apostles had found themselves preoccupied with having to do this. And it came to a point where the apostles were having to leave the teaching of the word and the spreading of the gospel in order to take care of the widows and the daily distribution that was going on during this time. That wasn't their role. The apostles didn't need to be distracted by all of these things that are going on around them. They needed to be focused on teaching and preaching and strengthening that group of people, those new Christians, the new converts in Jerusalem. So what happened? They said, "Choose out from among yourselves 7 guys that we can appoint to do this." Here was a work that needed to be done. Here were some things that were going on in the church of Jerusalem that the apostles didn't need to be preoccupied with. They needed to be teaching and preaching. They needed to be distributing the word of God, not distributing food to these people of a physical nature. And so what happened? They selected out from among themselves 7 men who could take care of that work and do the things so that that needed to be done so the apostles could get back to doing the things that they had a responsibility to do. Now, how does that really differ from the situation that we have laid out before us as we meet here? When you consider the role that the elders, the responsibility maybe is a better word to say, that the elders have as they work among us, the elders are to be shepherds of this flock. The elders are responsible for our souls. They are responsible for us as a group of individuals meeting together, striving to go to heaven. They look out for us and will give an answer for our souls. But at the same time, when you have a group the size of the one that meets here, there are a lot of physical things that have to be taken care of. And we're going to list out some of those things over the course of this lesson this morning. But there are lots of things that go on. You look around and there's a piece of property here that has to be taken care of. And there are classes that go on from time to time. And there's all kinds of things that have to be done. The question is, should the elders be concerning themselves with all of those things? Or are those not the things that we would see a similar situation like we have in Acts chapter 6, where they can, deacons, servants, working under the elders, can carry out very well so many of those tasks so that the elders are not distracted from the things that they need to be doing in shepherding the flock that is among them. We see the deacons have a tremendous value to a group like the one that meets here. They give the elders the ability to carry out their responsibility and to be guarding out for the flock and to be watching out for the things that they need to be aware of while they don't have to worry about some of those trivial physical things that the deacons can handle and take care of and the elders not be distracted from what they are doing. They allow the elders to entirely focus on their work as they serve under the elders. That's important to understand. The deacons have tremendous value as they serve us. May we realize that. And may we be appreciative to men who are willing to take on that work, because it truly is a work. It's not just some kind of position of honor. I mean, this is something where men will be actively involved and giving their time to serve the group that meets here and to work under the elders who serve this flock as well. And so we see that as we look at what a deacon is, he is a special servant of the church working under the elders. He is one who has tremendous value as he takes some of the pressure off of the elders on those physical things that they can set aside to a deacon and that they can focus on those things that are far more important as we think about the work that is going on here. Somebody says, okay, I get that. Now, what is the work of a deacon? I would suggest to you, first of all, that they work very closely with the elders. The elders will give them the responsibility to which they are to see about. The elders will know the things that are going on. The elders are aware of what the deacons are doing, but at the same time, they are willing to give that responsibility to those men who are serving as deacons and trust them to carry out that work in a very effective manner. We'll talk about that just in a little bit. I would like to list out for you some of the things that a deacon might possibly do And I think this is an interesting list because I think sometimes we look at a group and we say, well, there's just not, you know, all that much. I mean, two deacons is plenty. What's all the stuff they have to do anyway? And I think sometimes as we just go through a list like that, it helps us to see how much work there is and the many things that do need to be done. When I think about some of the possible tasks that a deacon might be assigned to take care of, one of the first things I think about is the idea that they may be given the responsibility of caring for the men that the congregation supports. As we look at this church, you can just go down the line and see just the number of men that we have a help in supporting. And what all goes into that? Well, at the first of every month, a check has to be written out so that those men receive their support in a timely manner. Those men send us reports. And so we get these reports in, and it's important for the group here to know what's taking place. And so there's distribution of those reports or posting them on the bulletin board, all of those different things. The other thing that takes place is we get letters all of the time from men who are asking for support. And it's a very helpful thing for one of the deacons to be able to receive those things and to get them organized so that they can then present those to the elders, and the elders will have don't have to worry about opening all the mail and all the things that are associated with those various things. It may be that there's some additional information that needs to be gathered in regards to a certain man. A deacon can ask for that. Call with the, as the elders have instructed him to gather that information for them so that they don't have to be worried about those kinds of things. A lot of times the men that we support may need additional support for a particular reason. The deacons can gather that and then get that to the elders so that they can make a decision in regards to it. So we see that they can help in caring for the men that this group supports. We see that from, in our case, three times a year, we'll have a week-long meeting where a certain man will be brought in to speak to us for the course of a week. A lot of preparation has to go into that. The building needs to be opened, and we've got to make sure that that men are assigned to lead in worship from night to night. We need to make sure that the fellow has a place to stay. We need to make sure, again, that his needs are taken care of in a physical way from a financial standpoint as he comes to speak before us. Many times we get announcements together. There may be ads that are placed in a local newspaper. There may be signs that are done. And as you go along these lines, there are numbers of things. And that's something that a deacon can do. And he can take on that responsibility instead of the elders having to worry about those kind of things. Another role that he can play is assigning men to lead in worship. Men, you get your form. And I mean, that thing's got a lot of work involved in it. And currently David is taking care of that. But I would suggest to you that's one of the things that a deacon could do. Here on that first day of the week, we need to know who is going to be leading the singing, and we need to know who's going to lead in prayer, and who's going to serve at the table, and who's going to preach, which is me most of the time. But we need to know these things. And then men are assigned to make sure that the ones who are supposed to be doing that are here and ready and prepared to do it. And that takes a tremendous amount of time. And that's one of the things that a deacon could do, is he gets the list together and prepares the list and makes sure that those tasks are assigned and that the men are doing what they have asked to be assigned to do. Those are things that deacons can handle very capably. One of the things that we do here is we tape our lessons. And in many situations, as we have seen just over the past number of weeks, people want copies of tapes. Somebody has to take the time to sit down at the tape machine and let that thing run. And we have a high-speed duplicator, but it still takes a lot of time when you're making so many different copies of tapes that are being recorded from time to time. There's equipment that must be ready. There's the ordering of the additional blank tapes so that we'll have tapes available for those kind of things. There are just numbers of responsibilities that go into that. We see the maintenance of the building. There may be work that needs to be done around the building. A work day needs to be assigned. Specific tasks assigned to specific people to make sure that those things get accomplished. Their mowing schedules. We have grass a little bit left. That has to be mowed. And somebody has to make sure that that's going to get done. We think about the fact that three times a week this building is opened and then it has to be locked back up. It could be a deacon is assigned the responsibility of opening the building and making sure the lights are out and then it's closed and the air conditioner is set to where it needs to be. We think about the class schedules that are taken care of. We see that teachers need to be assigned to a class, and a class needs to be assigned to a room. We've had a little bit of that going on here in the last few weeks as we're trying to get some more ready. All of those things have to be done. Now, you think about some of these things, and another one I've got written down is the idea of the treasury. Counting the collection, maintaining the account, making sure the deposit's made, making sure the bills are paid. All of these different things. And you begin to look at all of those things, and can you not see how elders could get to a point where they've got so many of these kind of things to do that they have very little time to care for the flock and the spiritual needs of the group that meets here? Those are things that deacons can take care of and handle very capably, and the elders don't have to be burdened. Not that they're not aware of what's happening, and not that they're not assigning these responsibilities, but they can assign these responsibilities and depend on those men who have been selected, who are qualified to serve as deacons, to carry them out. It makes the work here function very, very smoothly. When the elders are shepherding the flock, and the deacons are taking care of those things that have been assigned to them in a capable manner. Another thing that I would suggest to you along these lines is that deacons need to be given the freedom to carry out the responsibilities that they're given. The elders must realize that those men are qualified to do the things that they've been asked to do. And one of the things that I have seen here in the relationship between the elders, as Fried and David are serving us as elders, and then Sam and Tony as they serve us as deacons, is the elders are very willing to give those men the responsibility and allow them to carry that out without undue interference. We cannot put these men in some kind of a position, give them a responsibility, and then see them micromanaged to a point where they can't even carry it out in a way that is beneficial. And one of the things that has functioned so well here is that the elders have given some burden of responsibility to the deacons, and they have shown tremendous diligence in fulfilling those things, and there is no need why that can't continue as we strive to work together. The elders will be available for counsel, but they are going to be trusting the men that we select from among us to serve in this capacity. They'll be trusting those men to carry out the duties and the deeds that they have been assigned. We see the value of a deacon. There's a lot of work that has to be done. We need men who are qualified and capable of doing it. And as I said, there are men sitting here who I believe are. We must compare them with God's Word and the qualifications that are laid down within God's Word, and then select them from among ourselves and appoint them to this great task, the task of serving as a deacon in the Church of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful and major responsibility that is. But I want the men who might be selected to be thinking about what a great opportunity it would be to you to serve in this position and to be thinking about the things that you are doing as we, those of us who may be younger, in qualifying ourselves to someday serve in this position as well. I would suggest to you that those men who we appoint, they must meet the qualifications. They not only must meet the qualifications, but they must realize the work that they are entering into. As we look at this, we see that this truly is, I think, a position, to some extent, a position of honor. But as I've said before, it's not an honorary position. There's work to be done. You will be given duties. You will be assigned duties, and you will be expected to carry those out. It is a work that you will be entering into. You're dedicating yourself to giving your time as a servant of this group of people working under the elders. Realize what a great responsibility it is, but realize what a tremendous honor it is to serve in that position in the kingdom of God. Not every man will ever meet the qualifications. But to those who do, they accept for themselves a very good work. As we conclude this morning, I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to read with me, if you would, verse 13. Beginning in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll go through this next week. Paul lists out the qualifications that a man must meet in order to serve as a deacon. And as we look at verse 13, I want you to read with me what he says about one who serves in this capacity. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." For one who accepts this position and who is qualified to accept this position, you do a tremendous work. You accept a tremendous responsibility. May you realize the challenge that is laid before you, and may you accept it. And may I say to this group, may we take this process that we are going to enter into beginning today, really, as we begin our studying preparation. But may we take this process very seriously. May we not in some way take it lightly and just not fulfill our responsibilities as members of selecting men from among ourselves. But may we possibly even get down that directory that we have and begin to examine the list of those names of men, making sure that we evaluate each one in light of God's Word as to whether they're qualified. And may we do so with diligence. May we not raise the bar higher than God's Word has raised it. But may we make sure that we appoint men who are qualified to serve. Let's take this seriously. Let's look out from among ourselves men who are qualified to serve and appoint them to that position. As you think about the kingdom of God, some men will serve as deacons, some will serve as elders. But the greatest opportunity that's offered to mankind is the opportunity to be a part of that kingdom. Is the opportunity to be a Christian, to be a child of God, to be one who has had their sins washed away. The opportunity comes to you this morning to begin your life as a child of God, to come to Jesus Christ, to have your sins washed away, by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of those sins, you begin that path. There is no better time than now. We don't really know when life may end. We don't really know when the Lord may come again. That could happen today just as easily as it could happen at any time in the future. May we not take the opportunity that we have this morning to make ourselves right with God. May we not take that for granted. May you do what you need to do in order to be right with Him. And may you do it at this time as we stand and as we sing. And the trumpet shall sound.